We're just randomly looking through Corinthians. We've kind of moved on from Mark, and we're going to be going through Ruth next, probably within the next month. I think it's good to take a break in between books, at least for a month, maybe, to kind of recharge and refocus. The Corinthian church, last week we looked at, they were really going from godly wisdom to earthly wisdom. And I think that really was at the heart of the issue. Really is the heart of the issue for a lot of things that happen in a Christian life when we mess up and don't do the right things following Him. But anyway, let's look at what Paul says here this morning. First of all, he says, Christians who are worldly. He first deals with this carnal issue. Notice he says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. So, here you have the spiritual condition jumping right out, right at the beginning. The question is, can believers, I think it's a good question, can believers be saved but still be carnal? I think Paul gives us a pretty clear theological answer. The answer is yes. I think that we can be saved and living in the flesh. It's not a good condition, but this is what Paul says. First of all, Sophronius, which deals with the flesh, says, pertaining to behavior which is typical of human nature, but with a special focus upon a more base of physical desires or worldly base. So in other words, Paul says, I couldn't address you at that time as spiritual people, but as fleshly people. That is, you were saved, and Paul's talking about a time in the past here. Unfortunately, it continues in the present, but he's talking about when they first came to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me tell you this. When you first trust in Christ, I don't know how this works out theologically, and it's probably like trying to nail jelly to a wall, but when you trust in Christ, you are absolutely saved. You're imputed with the righteousness of Christ that is given at the moment of salvation. The problem is, at the moment of salvation, you still have your old nature, your old ways, your old desires. And as you continue to live your Christian life, and the Holy Spirit begins to dominate the regions of your heart, it should be getting better and better and better. Should be. But here, in Corinth, it didn't. Now he says, I could have addressed you as spiritual, that is, pertaining to a life controlled or directed by God's Spirit. That is, there's a divide here. Paul's talking, these are believers. These are Christian believers, but they're living in the flesh. So there's a difference in letting your life be controlled by the Spirit of God or by the Spirit of the world. You can be a Christian, and you can live your entire Christian life, I think it's possible, though it's not profitable. Paul says all things are possible but not good, so to speak. You could actually trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you could probably spend your entire life just knowing John 3:16, never getting deep with God. Paul says it right here. He says that you were mere infants in Christ, nepios, which represents a small child much more than the infant. That's why I went with this slide, because it pictures toddlers, children. It's not just infants. I think that's not a good translation there because of the Greek language. But it says up to 4 years old, somewhere between after infancy or around infancy to 4 years. And that's where a lot of Christians live their entire Christian life. They just stay there. Oh, they've come to church and, you know, they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They said the sinner's prayer when they were in the mother's womb, and they walked the aisle, they got baptized, and then on a daily basis, God's absent. Paul says, hey, this is why I could not address you as spiritual, because you're still worldly. You know, the Christian does own, just please let me say this, you do own responsibility in your sanctification. The Holy Spirit is there to assist you to grow. But it's like Paul says in Colossians, Ephesians, other places, take off the old garment, put on the new. That means you own some responsibility to grow and nurture your faith along with the Holy Spirit. You won't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. But you do own some responsibility in your own spiritual growth. It's not the deacon's responsibility to grow you, although they are there to assist. It's not the pastor's job to grow you spiritually, though I am here to assist. It is not your Sunday school teacher's job to nurture you and grow. They are there to assist. But it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility, to take charge of our own spiritual growth with the Holy Spirit and growing more and more and more like Christ. And unfortunately, like I said, a lot of Christians stay put. But they're also, not only are these Christians worldly, they're carnal, but they're also childish. Notice what Paul says. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Now let me say this. It's not a bad thing to be a baby Christian. You say, wait a minute, you're telling me. Are you supposed to grow? It's not a bad thing to be a baby Christian because guess what? That's where you start. You start as infants. When you are born again, which is what we have the terminology, born again, you have to start as an infant. Nobody on their spiritual journey starts as an adult. You say, well, Pastor, I'm 28 years old. You're an adult physically, but spiritually, when you trust in Christ, you're a baby. And so, in some cases, would you try to feed little babies? Would you try to feed them meat and taters? No. They wouldn't eat it. They'd probably choke. So they have to get to a point where they grow enough. And he gives us here levels of growth. The first is the immature believers. That is, they're stuck on the ABCs. You know the ABCs. Kids, you can help me out this morning. Remember we did the ABCs this week? Admit what? Admit that you're a sinner. B, believe in Jesus. And C, confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You see that? See that? But here's the problem. Most Christians are still there. They've never really gotten on to the deep things of God. But then there's mature believers. I want you to see the picture Paul's painting. Spiritual, those who are controlled, verse 1, those who are controlled by God's Spirit, those who are controlled by the flesh of the world. Then he puts it a little deeper here, and he says, okay, I gave you milk, and there's nothing wrong with milk, because this is the milk. This is the milk. You need this as a believer. Some will just take the milk, and they go, I don't want to go deeper with God. I don't want to go deeper. I don't want to get off. Pastor, you're supposed to study that stuff, and you're supposed to do that to help us. No, you're supposed to do that yourself. You're supposed to get in. A lot of programs today on the internet that you can find, they have some form of Greek wording that you can actually do. I can't study Greek. Yes, you can. You can get deeper in the Word. You can do that. I'm telling you, as your pastor, you can do it. Now, here you have immature believers, and you know what? I started out as an immature believer in Christ. And when I was dating Aubrey, I would go to Sunday school class, and I would ask the dumbest questions. Aubrey would be like, oh no, he's going to ask another dumb one. I even told the chaplain one time, I said, you know what? I think God gave us the body to protect the spirit. I still remember asking that. I was on the ABCs. I knew I was saved, but I was trying. I was trying to grow in my eyes. I was trying to eat. Sometimes I choke on some of that big stuff, and I kept going at it, kept studying. And I really think it matters where the heart is, because God will take somebody that's hungry and will feed them. But if all you're satisfied with is milk, then you're never going to get to the deeper things of God. You're never going to growing. When we talk about, we're talking about the deep things of God. That is steak, asparagus, and potatoes. So you go home, eat steak, asparagus, potatoes, and be the deep things of God. It's meat. It's solid food. It's solid food. There's two ways to live your Christian life, drinking milk or eating solid food. That is going deeper with God. Are you deeper with God? Are you where you want to be in your Christian walk? See, worldly believers, those who are still fleshly, they just never get beyond. They just start here and they just seem to stay there. I think the difference between, and this is my own thoughts here. I think the difference between those who are carnal Christians who live in a constant state of infancy, have never grown beyond it, and those who are mature, those who are making strides, I think it's the heart. A wise pastor once told me, and it's true, well, Pastor Lee Parsons, he once told me, he said, Mike, people do what they want to do. You want to go see that ball game next Sunday? You will move heaven and earth to get to that ball game. Now, there's not one person in this room, not one, that loves sports more than me. Particularly, no, not even me. And there's not one person in this room that loves baseball more than me. But there's some things that I already decided that I would be, and that is one of them would be in church. And I'm not going to miss church because I want to go do some sporting event on Sunday. That's another issue. If those who are carnal will just, okay, I'm going to dust this. I'm not trying to lay guilt. I once a lady said, well, I packed my bags this morning. She said, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean? She said, I packed my bags because we went on a guilt trip. But the reality is, Christians, I just hit her on something she didn't like, but she was joking with me. Thank you, Pastor, stepping on my feet. You're going to do what you want to do. If church and the things of God are not a priority, you won't do them. But if church and God are a priority, you will do them. Does that make sense? That's pretty simple. You're either going to do it or you're not. And I guess you can be carnal, live your whole life there, and someday you'll see Jesus. Is that what you want? How would you like your kids to stay in first grade forever? Would you like that? Would you like your grandkids to just stay in second, third grade forever? Don't let them go up higher. That's good. And I realized back in when my grandfather was growing up that he only had a third grade education, but he was a very smart man. Let's go on now. They don't understand ministry. So here's this church who was living like the world, not growing. They were mere infants in Christ, childlike, childish. And so Paul had to, and he also said, even now you're not ready for it. But now he talks here about conflicts. So this church had a lot of conflicts. And he says, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, and we're talking here about church killers. And this zealous, jealousy is a particularly strong feeling of resentment and jealousy against someone, envy, jealousy, and resentment. I have actually heard of people getting into fights because this is a church. Getting in fights because they felt like they were a better singer than somebody else. Wow. I even saw that in Bible college with pastors. I could preach him under the table. Depending on which table you're on, I guess. Eros, strife. To express differences of opinion with at least some measure of antagonism or hostility, to argue, quarrel, or dispute. The Bible doesn't say that we're not going to disagree. Matter of fact, there's a lot of cases in the Bible where there are disagreements. But where they become issues for the church is when those disagreements are not settled. Because then what happens is, like in the Corinthian church, they just kept fueling that, and it did cause divisions in the church. I once had a deacon in my first full-time church, after I preached on this similar text, came up to me and he goes, "Pastor, you can't use the word division." I said, "Really?" So the next Sunday, of course, I love our deacons. This is not about the deacons. This man, I loved him. He was a deacon, but this is what he told me. He said, "I am not just trusting in Christ to get into heaven." So the next Sunday I got up and about every fifth or sixth word I used the word division. And he's like mortified, sitting on the front row. I said, "Some churches grow by multiplication, some grow by subtraction, some grow by division." And I was just playing with it. I was younger then, I was a little more stupid. But. Church killers. How do we deal with it? I think, first of all, we acknowledge conflict. Conflict is not in itself a bad thing, but it can become a bad thing. Secondly, talk through it. Talk through it. Work through it. Reconcile it and leave it. I think what happened here in this church was that they just let the conflicts remain. But I think it was a bigger problem. The bigger problem was that they were still babies, still children, childlike in the faith. And then secondly, well, I want to tell you about this church. They had a big fight. There were conflicts. Look, church is no longer shut down. And I know about 7 years ago, this church was having conflicts. And I will tell you this, that it can happen to any church at any time when conflict is not dealt with. And when problems are not resolved, it can easily lead to this. And this is something that we want to avoid at all costs. We want to not allow this to happen here at our church. But then, as we move on now, we look at not only conflicts, but competitions. This one I find particularly funny. "For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos.'" I love this. This is a great quote. "Paul, Paul, Paul, Paul. Oh, yeah, Apollos, Apollos, Apollos." And I like this. This Jeff Larson's funny. "Before doctrinal interpretations divided the church, they argued over who to follow, Paul or Apollos." Okay. Now you'll notice we have Apollos here. We don't know who he is. He was a Christian from Alexandria. He also worked in Ephesus and Corinth. If you look at those two verses, check it out. And he was popular in the church. Let me say this. Let me say it very clearly, very pointedly, very sincere. There are no rock stars in church. There's only one rock star that I know of, if you want to call it that, and that's Jesus Christ. Just because God has gifted you in some area, don't think that you're the be-all, end-all. Because God gave you that gift. Use it to glorify the church and not bring glory to yourself. I fear what's happened with all this praise music, and I am not against praise music, I love it, but I fear what has happened in the church, particularly as you get into bigger churches and as our church grows, what I fear is that we get into some type of competition. In my last church, I had a man that was, he was in his 30s, his name was Steve, he was challenged. Somebody, and I let him sing on a regular basis in our church. He got up there, he was just singing away. I didn't understand a word he was saying, but he was singing away. Somebody came up to me, and that's the fastest way to get me jacked up is to do this. Somebody came up to me and said, "Pastor, we can't have Steve singing anymore on Sunday morning. he's just not professional. I had to walk for just a minute. And I walked back, and I went back to him, and I said, "We don't do professional here, buddy." That man with childlike faith gave his heart to that. And in God's eyes, it was better than the greatest singer who's trying to do singing for himself or herself. Well, we're not going to do that. We're not doing competitions. We are not holding tryouts, folks. This isn't a game show where we're going to try to be the best and do the best. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'll take somebody that can't sing a lick, whose heart is right with God, put them in there and have them sing over somebody who is, "I am a professional." Get out of here. Seriously. They had rock stars in this church. "I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. Look at this. They're great." And it's because you get into that mindset when you're still an infant or a child in Christ. You don't understand. Here's what you need to do. We don't follow, and I've heard people, a man in my last church, we had lots of people in the last church. He came up to me and, you guys know, he came up to me and he said, "This is true, serious, this is true." He came up to me and he said, our church was growing. We got up over 120, 130 in that ballpark. And he said to me, he said, "How does it feel? How does it feel to have people follow you? How does it feel to have this stardom like?" And I said, "Well, first of all, they're not supposed to be following me." You guys do realize that, right? You're not supposed to follow me. Oh, I can direct you and point you and guide you, and we go that route. But this is the one you got to follow. You got to follow Jesus. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to share my heart here. Sometimes when I have guest speakers come and speak, and I hear negative stuff, it kind of bothers me, it troubles me. Yeah, the guy's not like me. Thank God he's not. I never say she wasn't like me, whatever, it won't agree with me. Yeah, it's different. Yeah, I do PowerPoints. That's fine. Somebody can stand. You know, I could probably, if I had to, I could probably preach a sermon without a PowerPoint. I may be moving my arms more and, you know, picture this, you know, but there's a lot of preachers out there that don't use it. And there's a lot that do. It's just different. It's, you know, I think it's where your heart is. That's what I think. And maybe that's wrong, but. So how does it work? Worldly Christians don't understand ministry or how it works. I actually got really far ahead of my notes, so. But this is serving. He says serving right off the bat. Watch this. What then is Apollos? Paul says, okay, we're not going to have rock stars in the church, and we know why you're believing this and why you're doing this. It's because you're worldly, you haven't grown in your Christian faith, and that's why you've got these rock stars in your church. Now look at what he says. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Notice they are servants. Diakonos, which is where we get the Greek word deaconess or deacon and deaconess. A person who has rendered service, but this person, servant through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned to each. And it's didomi in the Greek, assigned, means that God gave. I had that rock star mentality too when I was a baby. I went to church. When we were in Oklahoma, we were in a big church. And I loved the pastor. He was up there sweating. And he preached so long that the TV would cut off on him. He'd still be going. 45. I just loved it. I grew a lot there. Because I loved the pastor, man. He was just, I'm tame compared to this guy. But I grew so much. But also realized I had that rock star mentality. That I held him up now as a pastor now. I understand that. The reality is that we are to serve. This is a serving community. That's how it works. Notice, servants through whom you believe, as the Lord had assigned to each one. In other words, each one of us represents some type of puzzle. God is putting the picture together. The army chaplain that led me to Christ, that was assigned by God. The pastors that mentored me, that was assigned by God. They had a task. That task was to help me in my walk, to grow me in my spiritual faith at the starting point and moving forward. All of you have a task. And by the way, if you're not doing it, the picture's incomplete, particularly here at the church. Your gifts are needed. Again, there's no rock stars. We're not doing that. If you guys want a rock star church, you got problems. And I don't think anybody in here wants a rock star church. We follow Christ. That's what we do. That's how we're going to play it. Notice what he says. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. And by the way, that means important. That means status. But it's God who gives the growth. Pastor Mike may preach. Judy may water. And if that person, those nine children that came to Christ this week, that was God. You say, well, I had a hand in that. Absolutely, you did. Everybody has a hand in it. But if this church grows, it's not Pastor Mike. It's God. If this church achieves great things, which I think it will, it's not Pastor Mike. It's God. And it ain't you. It ain't to work. God puts us together. And it's all done for His glory. This is all about God, folks. We don't get any of the credit. We do the work. He gets the credit. He grows it. But there's not only this idea of serving. They were having talent competitions, and Paul says, no. It's not talent competitions. This is how ministry works. You just do your part, and you serve Him with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength, and God will get the glory for it. But then there's also the issue of unity. Now notice what he says in verse 8. It's good news because I'm almost done. He who plants and he who waters are two. What does that say? One. Right? It doesn't say two. We are one. I want you to watch this clip. I think it's cool.
What if the scoreboard says we're down? That's just numbers. We're only down if we believe we're down.
It's up to you to dig deep. If you work together, we can turn this game around. You can turn this game around. I know you can.
I know too. Mr. Trump. What I missed. Filmed you guys. My heart. My teammate, everything. My dad. Best coach anybody could ever play for. They're winners because they know what it means to be a team. They have each other's back no matter what the consequences. They know how to play, gentlemen. Not just them. That would you say?
You can't live a perfect day without doing one thing.
Start playing for each other instead of ourselves.
The second half, I want you all to make one lights out play to help your team win. One hit, yeah.
They lost by 37 points, but they were pumped up. No, they didn't. Teamwork. Unity within the body of Christ. You think, well, Pastor, you're drifting here. It's not football season. You know, this is a great design play. By the way, not every play is designed for a touchdown. There are some special plays that are designed to gain 1 yard or chew up the clock down and out that catch. But here you have a play. I think it's designed for a touchdown. Here you have the quarterback, and you have your tight end. You have your wide receivers. You have your tailback and your fullback. It looks like to me the quarterback comes back and fakes to the tailback, and he goes in and hits, follows up and hits anybody else coming through. This fullback goes down, hits, and goes, and then you have your wide receivers going out. If this play works, and everybody does their part, you get some good yards. By the way, teams that do this well, Sunday after church, guys, those teams that do this well, Sunday in, Sunday out, they are the ones that win Super Bowls. It's the teams that can't do the blocks and make the picks and actually carry it out that don't do well. So in that particular realm, we do have an enemy. Do you know who the enemy is? It's not the person sitting next to you. The enemy is Satan. And we've got to knock Satan out, so to speak. We need to come in. You don't do this. I've seen all kinds of trick plays where maybe this guy comes in and curls back. The ball's thrown over here. This guy starts running and he tosses it back. Boy, those plays are tough. Those plays are tough to defend. But we have to cover each other's back. And we have to be unified in order to advance the kingdom. You see what Paul's been driving at in this whole message is, your childish, childlike has led you to misunderstand ministry when actually ministry is serving and being unified in the body of Christ. I'll tell you what, we'll never grow large until we learn to work together and to be unified. If you're a born-again believer this morning, you are on this team. We're not supposed to have competitions and conflicts and all that stuff. That's how we lose the game. That's how we lose it. Lastly, cooperating. You said, well, that's the same thing as unity. Not really, because look at what Paul says. For we are God's fellow workers. Wait a minute. We are God's fellow workers. Yeah, you know what that means? That means that we work hand in hand with God God works with us. Obviously, we work with one another. But God works. As you do the ministry, you are working hand in hand with God to accomplish only the things that God can accomplish through you. That's why it's impossible to hold God's hand and do the ministry and try to be a rock star and stand out. I think everybody in the church, including myself, everybody should reevaluate how they view their spiritual gifts. I think it'd be good for us. You say, just say this, why am I doing what I am doing? Or why am I not doing what I should be doing? Evaluate your life. I think it's important. And then to just make a decision that I'm not going to be like these Corinthian believers. I'm not going to be a worldly Christian not understanding the basics of Christianity and how to serve God and doing those things. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to really seek to grow. There's not one person that I have seen to this point that said, I want to be more like Christ in all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind. I want to be more like Christ that God ever left in the starting blocks. If you want it, like you want that football game on Sunday afternoon or that new car, you want that and you're going to move everything to get it, right? Well, I tell you what, if you'll start there and say, I want to leave this ABC stuff behind. When I was a child, I played like a child, but now I'm an adult, I put those childly things away and I move on. See, it's all about you. It's not about me. This is actually off of me now. I did my job. I preach the word. Now, it rests on you. It's like a football team. If that coach would have gone in there at halftime and said, guys, this looks real bad. I don't think we're going to pull this out. Do you think that team would have gone out in the second half and beat them? The other night, the Braves were down 9-0 after 5 minutes. It was rushed. They were down 9-0. And guess what? Pastor Mike gave up on them. I cut it off, and then I just went back to see what it was like at the end of the game. Do you know the Braves rallied to win that game? They scored 11 runs in the last four innings. And I missed it! Hey, if you don't stay in the game, keep your head in the game, and keep working with one another, you won't win, we won't win, and there's too much at stake not to win. What's at stake is people who are going to spend eternity separated from God. This is not the time to be divisive, to have competitions, to be immature. This is a time to get going and get growing and get saving people and adding into the kingdom of God. This is time to make a decision and say, today is the day that I want to start maturing in my Christian faith. God, and you'll see, if you'll just have a desire for it. But we have to be willing to do this. That means we got to get dirt. I'm not talking about digging up dirt on people. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about working together. Look around at this room. Let me say this. All love and all appreciation. Everybody that's here could be here almost every Sunday. Can't win the game if you're not here. Okay. I know we're all tired. We just did a long week every night. And I want to thank those that were here and did that great job. We pushed that ball across the goal line. Those 10 kids. Eternity has changed because of it. We don't want to be like this. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to just run out the clock. Because we had the ball and we had Christ, and we're just going to run out the clock. I don't want to do anything. I'm just waiting until I die to see Jesus. That's a good goal. You guys start passing that ball. I could use basketball. I don't know as much about basketball. But I do know teamwork is required in basketball, football, baseball, hockey. Maybe not so much in boxing, just try not to get it out. Unfortunately, a lot of churches are like that. They just want to knock people out. We want to help people see Jesus. What about you?